The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's
too excited. It's one of the classic wonders. Her man look like he, of course, the most famous, never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well known is this. Never put off getting the gas.
I feel like this is a pretty exclusively you problem.
No.
I understand you want to lump everybody else in to make yourself feel better. But again, one of the first things that we got to learn about you when you joined the morning show, we had your friend Diana Russini on, and she, you know, gave us all the great NFL information. But then what we really wanted her on was for the dirt on you. We wanted the dirt on you. And what was the first thing when we said, hey, tell us something about Jen that we should know that maybe not everybody knows? What is the first thing that she said?
I don't recall. Chewy, do you?
I'm sure it had something to do with an automobile.
She runs out of gas more than any person should.
How does that happen when most cars or whatever, trucks or whatever, has a digital readout of how many miles you have left to empty?
I don't know that I have a digital readout. I might. I have to, like, do through the thingies. But I definitely know I have a gas gauge. I definitely know I have that.
Has your car been made in the past 10 years?
Yes.
Right, you have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you have one.
All right. I will look through the settings and see if I can find it. So last night I'm running errands, out and about, got the kids. They're hungry, want to get home for dinner. And I see my gas gauge is nearing the E. Not on the E, not past the E, but nearing the E.
The gas light is on.
The gas light is on.
Okay.
The little yellow shaped like a gas tank light is on. And I said, I really need to get home, get these kiddos dinner. I'll go out later and put gas in.
Yeah, that never works.
Well, I got up this morning, got in the vehicle, and we are on empty. And I needed to get in for our meeting and for my TMJ hit, rather. And I did not run out of gas, okay? I want to be very clear on this. I did not run out of gas.
Yet.
That's a very important word that I would also have tacked on to the back of that sentence, yes. It's going to be tough. And there's a gas station like a stone's throw from here. You spit and hit that gas station over there at the corner.
But it's also not easy to get to from here.
Correct. There's going to be a little windy, windy, windy. And I don't know if I can windy my way there without running out of gas.
Additionally, I don't know how you're getting out of the parking garage. There's like construction going on. They've got exits. Like, you're going to probably have to wind through the parking garage, therefore wasting even more gas before you get to said gas station.
Better to run out of gas in the structure, Chewy, or out of the structure?
It'll probably be easier for a tow truck to get in there if it's outside the structure.
What? No, I'll just walk my butt down to
the
gas
station
and get the red can and do the walk of shame back.
It's best to do that outside of the parking garage because then, you know, you're not blocking the people trying to get out.
Are you guys loyal to your gas stations?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm loyal to my gas station. I go to the same gas station because of the grocery store I go to. They give the discount. You know, you spend money at the gas station or at the grocery store, you get X amount of, you know, cents off of your gallon of gas.
If you're loyal to your gas station, I don't think you'll have the problem.
How do you figure?
Because every time you go buy it, I mean, Gabe says I'm old. I don't think I'm there yet. I don't drive around spending $10 to find cheaper gas. But if it's below half a tank and I'm going by one of two quick trips, pull in, bada boom, bada bing, 4 minutes, I'm out the door.
Half a tank, man.
Half a tank's a lot.
Half a tank. Can you at least get it down to three quarters?
Or, yeah, quarter.
When's the last time the gas light went off in your truck?
I got a lot of time. Now, for someone that will go back out because he has nothing to do to fill up, yes, I've done that before.
Is there any way that I could outsource my gas getting too chewy? He's got the time. I don't have the time. Is there any way that we could make this work logistically where
that would
he
actually
just
be a good service?
If he was your neighbor, yes. But Chewy famously doesn't like going places, and you guys live about as far away as you could.
That's
like,
true.
You might as well live in New York, according to Chewy.
But I could be Uber for gas. Let's say you go to your office, right? I didn't have time to gas up. Let's call up Chewy's Gap.
Oh, this
I take your car, go gas it up, bring
it
back, bada boom, bada bing.
So you're just driving around with a tanker, right, full of gasoline, which doesn't sound very safe, but I'm sure that people do it. And then you're going to where people are and putting gas in their car while they're at the office. I love this idea.
I'll take their car and fill it up. That's what we have on the lake as a service. It's boat gas, so you just send the guy an email, and he goes out on the lake with his tanker, and on a Thursday, he fills it up, so for the weekend, you're good to go.
But what kind of premium would you be charging for the service?
How many gallons?
So, for example, I filled up yesterday. Yeah. It was $3.19 a gallon. Like, so what are you charging over that?
A quarter a gallon.
Okay.
So if you need 20 gallons, do the math.
No, you do the math.
Yeah, here we go.
This is your business.
Let's go to break, and I'll have that number for you right after.
That's a really good idea. The loyalty thing is interesting to me. So you're telling me that if I was loyal to one gas station, every time I passed that gas station, I would just kind of zip in, fill up the tank no matter what. I did tell the guys, like, we do have a Costco membership, and there's a part of me that always feels like when we're at Costco, no matter what the tank is at, because it's at such a premium discounted rate, I should just put whatever I need in. I haven't yet adopted that theory, but it's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one, because also, if you have the Costco card, you get cash back on the gas. So, you're double dipping there. That's a nice little double dip at Costco.
Yeah, but Costco is a 10 to 12 minute fill up. We're like Quick Trip, 4 minutes. You're in and out, bada boom, bada bing. Because of the traffic, because of the mass traffic at Costco.
Well, if you go on a weekend, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you go on a weekend, it becomes
some
a death
type
march.
Of glutton for punishment, if that's what you're thinking about doing on a Saturday or Sunday.
There seems to be an underlying theme here, Jen, where you lie to yourself. I'm going to get this after I get home. Like, I'm going to make a special trip. You should have known the moment you said that was a lie and either filled up then or woken up a little bit early to go get it. Because I know if I were to tell myself that, that's 100% a lie.
Well, especially once you're home for the night, after you make dinner. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go out and get gas now?
Well, and Chase, my 15-year-old, was home, but he was home with his girlfriend. And if I said to them, hey, I'm going to go get gas, I'll be right back, I don't even want to think about what type of situation I'm coming back to, okay? So it was one of those, like, I can't leave the house because I got the 15-year-old down in the basement watching a movie, quote unquote.
Could you potentially...
What are you putting your kids' business on the streets for?
Watching a movie. What is the big deal?
We all know what that
is. It's part of the reason I couldn't leave the house last night to go get gas. Really, what I'm saying is this was my son's fault. This is really what I'm getting at.
Could you bribe them? Like, you guys can go get yourself some ice cream if you go fill it up, or some snacks.
I mean, legally, he's not allowed to drive yet. He's
15. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, you're absolutely right. I lied to myself. And the little voice in my head did go, yes! As soon as I said it.
Just
right?
Laughed right in your face.
Okay.
Sure,
Jen.
But after the girls went to bed and after Chase's girlfriend left, I should have just gotten up. It's literally half a mile from my house, gone and gotten the gas, and then I wouldn't be in the situation now, which is when I leave here in an hour and 45 minutes, there's a good chance I can't make it to the gas station that is just down the street here in Milwaukee.
Josh, are you going to start stretching now for when she calls you for the push?
Wait. Limber up. Just might as well get some calisthenics.
First of all, you know you're number one on that list.
I got greeny today. I'm sorry.
The fact that you drive Chewy to the airport every once in a while puts you right there atop that.
I mean, we've got a nice big break right around, you know, quarter after the hour. So, if you know, I might be able to help out for 5 minutes.
Ryan from Iguanago Chew wants to know how many red cans I own over the course of my lifetime. We're close to 10. I believe close to 10.
Let's pull the room. Gabe, how many times have you run out of gas?
Zero. Zero times.
Chewy?
Never.
I have to admit to one time, but I was driving a car that wasn't mine, and I didn't know where the gas came.
I will say this. I've run out of gas in my lawnmower.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, well, I mean, that doesn't have a big light saying, hey, over here. Yeah. Hey, you only have one more lap around the lawn before you run out of gas.
Wait, hold on. Don't they call those dummy lights? I mean, seriously. Like, that's what my dad used to call them when the dummy light went on.
Because, when I was in high school, my dad and I came down to Milwaukee for a Bucks game, and he almost ran out of gas. Like, we ran out of gas pulling off the interstate, but then, like, it was at an angle, so whatever was left in there, we were able to get it. Like, we had to cut off a bunch of cars to get into
I've done that before.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was such an experience where it's like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. Nope.
For whatever reason, that doesn't seem to sink in for you, because how many times have you run out of gas?
Well, today I have not yet run out of gas, so we can't add that to the total, but I believe we are at 5 or 6.
See, you guys are too young to remember when they used to siphon gas back in the 70s. My dad would park against a tree wherever we went, and we'd be like, what are you doing, you psycho? We're in a 1968 station wagon with wood paneling. I don't think they're going to take gas out of this thing.
Why was he siphoning the gas out?
No, he wasn't.
Because
gas was so expensive.
People would siphon your gas.
He would park where the gas tank was up against a tree, so we thought no one could get in there and siphon it.
Got it. Sure. Speaking of siphoning, Kim weighing in saying, Jen, you just need to add a little bit of gas from your lawnmower red gas can to make sure you're able to get to work. That's a good point. We do have a gas can in the garage for the lawnmower and for the snowblower. Probably should have just done a little.
Doesn't really do us a lot of good, you know.
But it's a great point by
here.
Kim. Correct. This morning, yes, as I was going, oh no.
Are you sure which one's the mixture versus which one's the...
Yeah, that's...
That could be a real
pickle.
No, I'm not. So, good. Thank you for sharing that with me as well. Josh's weighing in saying, I think Jen is just a NASCAR driver at heart. She wants to win the race and is willing to finish last if it means taking home the checkered flag. Wait, how do you win the checkered flag if you're last?
When you're racing, you can try and push your gas tank instead of stopping for a pit.
Sure. So everybody else pits.
Yes.
Yeah. You decide to try to
risk
it.
And you can try and keep your gas. It fails. Sometimes works.
No risk it, no biscuit. Jen, why not keep the red can in the trunk of the car so you don't have to keep buying them? That from Ben.
That's a good point.
You know, Jen, do you know what drafting is?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Right. Well-versed in it.
The problem with the Suburban, the only thing she can do is draft off a semi.
Get behind an 18-wheeler and just draft it to the gas station.
But the other thing I also have done is if I'm going down a hill, I'll throw that sucker into neutral. Let the hill take me down instead of using the gas. I've turned off the air conditioning. I've done all of the things. We will let you know at 9:15 this morning whether or not I made it to the gas station. I do want to say this, though. Ryan McGuadigo with, I think, the comment of the morning thus far. Street smarts level down.
Yeah.
Is the air conditioning off a real thing? I've heard that forever, and I don't understand the process. Do we need to Google that?
Well, I mean, you're just using more energy. The energy that runs the vehicle is the gasoline.
Yeah, but...
Battery, too, right?
Yeah,
that might run off the battery, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
At this point, yeah.
I didn't realize getting gas was such a challenge.
For some of us.
I mean,
it's not.
In fairness to you two, shouldn't be. Really shouldn't be.
In fairness to everyone, actually. I don't want to... Gabe is right. I should not be representing the population on this thing. I think I'm out there on an island of like, this happens to be way more often than it should. 800-990-3776. We're working on a poll. What was the poll that we were talking about earlier? Whether or not you have run out of gas, whether or not you know people who have run out of gas. We're going to talk to Jason Wilde next. My guess is he has never run out of gas. Lots of stuff with the Green Bay Packers to talk about with Jason right after this.
Looking for a better used car interest rate? At Ewald, they make it easy to save thousands during the used car rate reduction event. You can get rates as low as 4.9% on Ewald Automotive Group's best used cars. 4.9% on over 600 vehicles at 10 locations. Increase your purchase power with a better used car from the name Milwaukee has trusted for 60 years. Race to your local Ewald for this deal ends on August 31st. Go to EwaldAuto.com.
Ready? Down! Put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We really appreciate Jason Wilde hanging out with us this morning and three times a week to talk about the green and gold. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Jason, you're here. What a treat.
I know.
No dude day today.
I'm sorry about that. Maybe tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow. You can have dude day tomorrow. So it sounds...
Every day is dude day.
Yes. It sounds like Matt LaFleur was a little... I don't want to go extreme here. He's a little cranky pants. And all I could think was, you're mad at your dad, not me, when he was talking to you about the kicker situation. Right? You're mad at your dad, not me, Adam Sandler. So before we have you respond to this, let's hear from Matt LaFleur yesterday.
I need some time. My computer's not working.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Josh's computer is not working. So we're going to put a pause
on that.
We're going to put a pause on that. So can you just tell us what went down yesterday when you asked Matt LaFleur about the kicker situation in Green Bay?
Well, you always got to stir stuff up, Jason, as he once said.
Yes.
Look, he's not mad at me. And again, he and I... I have come to really enjoy covering him. He's no Mike McCarthy. I don't have quite the same relationship that I had with Big Mike. But yesterday, once Joshy gets his computer working, he had already started once with when Bill Huber of Sports Illustrated meant to ask about the backup quarterback situation, but had kicker on the brain and said kicker. And his default answer was quickly, that's Rich Bisaccia's deal. And he did not want to discuss the kicker. So, of course, me being the highly perceptive fellow that I am, said, well, I got to ask more about this kicker situation. And he's not pleased. I don't think you have to be an expert at reading people's moods to know that he's looking at this and going, okay, the NFL is a cutthroat, tough business. And as you'll hear when you hear the audio, when I point out that it's a razor thin difference between winning and losing, you can hear it in his voice that you went through training camp. You had five different guys kick. Five. And you didn't keep any of them. None of them were good enough. You got Goody earlier admitting that he's not as patient as he should be with specialists. And it's after he's moved on from another specialist. So I'm really curious to see, you know, how... Look, Braden Narveson could turn out to be Mason Crosby. We don't know that. But based on where he's at now, he made 78% of his kicks in college at three different schools. He was just as inconsistent, if not more so, than Anders Carlson was for most of his college career. And if you're going to say that the 32-yard field goal that Mason Crosby missed is not why he was cut and that he'd be the kicker if he'd have made that kick, then how can you also say that this guy hit a 59-yard field goal and that was part of the reason why of his allure to you to go claim him on waivers? I think Goody has done a lot of really positive things. He's stocked this roster impressively. I want to make sure people don't think I'm hating Goody. At the same time, it would appear that they have put themselves in a difficult position at kicker. And there's no denying that this is a possibility that they could have opened a revolving door that will continue to spin all season long.
Let's take a listen to that audio with Matt LaFleur right now.
The circumstance we're in right now.
Matt, I know Bill asked about the kicker. What exactly is the transition process there? You had five different guys come through here in camp. And you
not a question for me. That is a question for Rich Bisaccia.
Is a razor thin difference between winning and losing?
Oh, I'm well aware of this. this is uncharted territory, I would say, that I've been in my time in the league. So it's just, yeah, you just got to come in and perform. I don't know how else to put it, you know. And but it's definitely a unique situation.
Jason, why is it a Rich Bisaccia question? I mean, Rich Bisaccia, as far as I know, isn't on the same level as Goody or Matt LaFleur on the organizational charts. Certainly, you want those guys communicating. You want his input. But ultimately, like, the roster decisions come down to what Goody wants to do,
yeah,
right?
No, Gabe, it's not. If you listen to my question, it's what is the transition process? And that's when he says that's a Rich Bisaccia question. So it's not, I don't think, in fact, I find myself wondering if Goody, after Anders Carlson, after cutting a bunch of Rich Bisaccia's special teams guys, right, going back to Dallin Leavitt last year after he got that penalty on the opening kickoff and then got an additional penalty. I can't remember which game that was, but he, you know, almost got run from the game, and then they cut him the next day or 2 days later. I think there's a chance that Goody has said, I'm not listening to this special teams guy anymore either. Look, I had said
this.
But
that was also part of the reason they kept Zane Anderson, was it not?
Well, I don't know, because can you really say that they're keeping Zane Anderson, who never played for Bisaccia, by the way,
yeah,
right? He played for the Chiefs, unlike some of these other guys. But I don't think you can say that they kept Zane Anderson to placate Rich Bisaccia when they cut Christian Welch, who, you know, Rich Bisaccia wanted on his team. You know he wanted Robert Rochelle, who's now on the practice squad. I do find myself wondering if, and that's not the kind of question you can ask in a press conference, because it's going to, you know, I don't think Goody would answer it with a bunch of TV cameras on him, but I am very curious to know if, you know, Rich Bisaccia had his, like, it's like when LaFleur really liked Josiah DeGuara, and they picked Josiah DeGuara,
yeah,
right? He had shown the video of DeGuara, like, running down a turnover play, like Don Beebe in the Super Bowl with Leon Lett, and then they end up drafting him, and his offensive coordinator is one of LaFleur's best buddies. And it was almost like after they saw that Josiah DeGuara was kind of just a guy, it was almost like Goody said, all right, we're not picking any more guys that the coach wants. And now I kind of feel like maybe they're at the point where, all right, we're not picking any more guys that the special teams coordinator wants. Because, you know, I would think having had Daniel Carlson – I'm sorry, Chewy, real quick. I would think that if I was predicting what Rich Bisaccia did here, and I don't know, I'm going to try and get him to answer this today when he talks to us. I would think that if you asked him what he wanted to do, and he had a couple of Coors Lights in him and was being honest, he would say, I did not want to do with Anders Carlson what the Vikings did with Daniel Carlson and then find out 4 years from now how good of a kicker he has become. Because it's important to note that up there at the podium yesterday, Brian Gutekunst admitted that he cut J.K. Scott, and now J.K. Scott has become one of the better punters in the league for the Chargers. So there is that possibility that despite their frustration with Carlson, he could do the same thing. Go ahead, Chewy. Sorry.
They got to be careful. This is the problem with the cylinders or whatever you want to call it. Because, Jason, and you know this. You know this, Jason. With success comes ego, right?
No doubt.
Holmgren was a much different guy in 96 than he was in 92. But because Ron was his boss, he never called him. I don't ever remember an instance where he called out Ron. Now, Goody can read this however he wants to read it, but if Goody reads it as a shot at him, can't Goody say, what the hell did you kick a field goal for in the NFC Championship game against Tampa Bay instead of going for it?
Yeah.
And these games, look, Jason, you know these games do happen in an NFL organization.
No doubt they do. And you know, I really like Matt. We get along great. I enjoy our back and forths when he gets after me. But I don't think he does a great job of masking his irritation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when they were going to London, he did a horrendous job of hiding how much he hated going to London, and I think it impacted his team. Yesterday, he did a horrendous job of at least downplaying the fact that they have a revolving door of kickers and they just picked up some random guy who, again, I'm not dogging Narveson. Like, he could turn out to be really good. That is one of the this is like a choose your own adventure book. That's one of the possibilities, that he turns out to be good and they have their kicker for the next decade. I don't know that. But what I'm saying is that when you have five different kickers come through, when you had Jake Bates, the guy who led the UFL in kicking, come in for a workout, you choose not to sign him, and he goes to the Lions. And maybe he's great with the Lions, maybe he's not. I don't have a crystal ball. But when you go through all this process, and then you get to the week of the regular season, and you didn't choose anybody you had in camp, and you pick some random guy that couldn't beat out the incumbent Nick Folk in Tennessee, if I'm a coach, I'm like, dude, this game could come down to a field goal, and I'm going to trot some guy out there that I haven't even met yet because he's not in the building right now. And I think that's his frustration.
Yeah, and remember last year I was just doing a little Google search, a little AI assist. Last year there was that week where it broke the NFL record for the most games that ended with field goals in regulation. There were five on that random November Sunday. The previous record had been three games on any one given day that were decided by a field goal. Five games were decided by a field goal. And I believe I saw a stat from Amy Trask who said that, and this was again in November, I think it was after that game had occurred, that 39 games were decided by 3 points or less. 16 games had been decided by a field goal in the final minute, 9 games decided with a walk-off field goal, and that wasn't even to the conclusion of the 2023 season. So I think, look, Packers fans know they've been in situations where, you know, you're holding your breath, or as you mentioned, Jason, praying, like Matt LaFleur has said. So I do hope that this thing gets figured out. It is a novelty, I suppose, that the Packers can claim to have had three kickers on three consecutive days, right? Anders Carlson, oof, Greg Joseph, and now Braden Narveson. That's a trivia answer if I've ever heard one, right?
Yeah, look, I think it's also interesting that they have another kicker who they cannot use unless they take his international player pathway program designation off, and that is Alex Hale, who's another rookie. But I bring this up not because I hate Goody, but I think this is instructive. In 2022, even though he turned out to be wrong, he said, if you have a championship team, you have to have a championship-level kicker. And while 2022 went down the you-know-what, he kept Mason Crosby for another year for that exact reason. And now, those same words, if you have a championship team, you need a championship caliber kicker, they believe they have a championship caliber team. And they have a guy that just got done with going 6-for-7 in preseason with another team. And now have you determined that based on what he did for the Tennessee Titans? Because remember, when he came out as an undrafted free agent, the Packers had every opportunity pick them up in April, right? Or May. And they didn't. So if they have a championship level team, is he not violating his own policy of you need to have a championship level kicker? Is he not doing that? Am I being unfair?
No, you're not. Jason, did LaFleur say something to the effect of it might change his play calling as he creeps
did.
In?
The next question, he literally said, absolutely. Absolutely. So again, bad job of hiding how he feels. But like, if it's fourth and one, and it's a 52-yard field goal, and, you know, again, he's not going to have – they had so much, whether it was good or bad, doesn't matter. They had so much information on the guys that came through there because they all watched him kick in practice. He doesn't know anything about this guy. So he might go for it when he might not go for it in another circumstance with a kicker he knows.
Jason, the crazy thing is they're so covert about everything, right? They're so covert. I don't want these people filming in the stands here. And then he goes out and says that? So a team can prepare like, hey, if they're on the 40-yard line, you know they're going for it. So we're going to work that part of the field even harder. I just don't get it.
I saw Brett Favre, Ethan, chimed in on all this kicker stuff, which I didn't know he was still using his social media after everything that's gone on with him, but I think he just said something effective, let Jordan go for it every fourth down.
I think
or
he's
whatever,
promoting so. That he's promoting that concussion film, isn't he? That's what I've seen the majority of Favre's interactions have been. There's a
I'm
joke in there. Yep,
I'm just biting my tongue. I'm done.
All right.
Thank you.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every day here on ESPN Milwaukee. You've heard me talk about my garage floor and how it was transformed thanks to the work of Showtime Floors. Their latest innovation has me even more excited. Get a sealer applied and protect your new and existing surfaces in and around your home. It's antimicrobial and it's UV resistant, and it's used by all the big guys, including right here in Milwaukee at the airport, and you know how much time I spend there. Showtime Floors offers a 15-year warranty on their work. It'll bring that original color back to your surfaces. Go to ShowtimeFloors.com to schedule a demo today. Mention ESPN, guys. They'll give you 10% off. Just tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, I mean, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
On one hand, I will say this. Spending a lot of time talking about the kicker for your NFL franchise might be a good thing, because it means that all of the other things are sort of figured out, or at least you're content with where they are now, and you'll wait for the games to sort of expose issues and deficiencies. But for now, you're pretty confident in most of the other units that the Packers have. The kicker has, of course, been the Achilles heel. It has been an issue. It has been something that we have been talking about for far, far, far too long. And I made the joke earlier with Jason Wilde that the Packers do have the unique distinction now of being one of, I'm guessing, the only team ever to have three kickers on three consecutive days. Anders Carlson, and then Greg Joseph, and now the new kicker, Braden Narveson. But I want to hear that sound from Matt LaFleur yesterday, who talked about how having a new kicker this late headed into the season could affect his team's play calling for week one. Take a listen.
Do you think it could affect your play calling in week one, going for it on fourth down?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I think you got to take into account all the circumstances. No different though, like when you go out and there's inclement weather, and sometimes that affects some of the decision making you make. And we'll see. We'll get a couple days with him to kind of get a feel for him as he performs. What's hard is you just don't have any game, you know, experience with him. But he did a nice job in Tennessee. I know that.
So Chewy, you made a great point that actually is a competitive disadvantage, because the defense can play you a certain way. What did you mean by that?
Well, if you're not confident in your kicker, and, you know, most teams are going to, throughout any, you know, not a pressure situation, are probably going to attempt anything over 50 yards. Would you agree? Like, a 52-yarder now for a kicker is probably the equivalent of a 46-yarder when I played, for whatever reason. Now, if they know that, yes, that's a competitive advantage. They're going to spend extra time, just like during the week. Okay, we go through, there's a day we do short yardage goal line. There's a day we do blitz. There's a day we do nickel. There's a day we do backed up. Now, and defense does the same thing situationally. Now they're going to go, okay, let's put in a special package now for, you know, when they're on their plus 40 or whatever the distance would be. It's just like, it's a little bit of a tell. I mean, it's not that big a deal, but I just don't like it. Bottom line is I would have kept Joseph because everyone thinks all they do is line up and kick the ball. But they don't. There's a new holder, and there's a certain way guys want the ball held, and there's got to be a mesh point there. Gabe, it'd be like you saying, "Hey, are you playing golf today, Gabe?" Yeah. I want you to play with these Sirixon clubs instead of what you use. That's going to be different, right?
Yeah. Am I hearing this correctly? Am I the only one hearing what he's saying? Are you sticking up for kickers right now?
Do kickers matter?
It seems like to me you're defending kickers right now, and I'm just confused.
Well, I'm defending them from the standpoint. No, I think they should take kicking out of the game totally.
All right, there we go.
Since it's still a part of the game.
There it is.
Like to players, right? To players. This is how players think. Is Nortman going to be mad at me? You're a punter. I'm talking about kickers, okay?
They stick together.
To us as players...
You can take them. It's fine.
Hold on. Kickers, to us, the football players, is like breathing. We shouldn't have to worry about how to do it. Shouldn't have to go like, God, I forgot how to breathe. How do you breathe? I'm choking over here. How do I breathe? You know, I should be able to sit on the bench for a 48-yarder and go in the bank. And when it's not that case, then, yeah, I wouldn't have done this. I would have kept Joseph.
To your point, Chu, about the average kicking distance for field goals, it has gone up almost every year consistently. I'm looking at a chart from 2014 when the average distance for the field goals in the NFL was 37.6. Now it hasn't gone up dramatically. Again, we're talking about the average, but we're up to 40. In 2022, the average field goal distance was 40 yards. And I think we have all seen that there are a few guys out there who can boot it from well beyond that still. I have said having a good kicker is a huge advantage. Just think of how far you have to go. A couple of first downs. That's why we always talk about the overtime rules. And I'm always like, if you got a good kicker, man, all you got to do is get off first down. Put yourself in a good position. You got a guy who can boot it from 60 and points on the board.
That's why I asked Gabe when you were on TMJ, I'm like, are the kickers much better back in the day when I played?
No.
And I think that, hold on, Gabe, but you explain, but I think the difference is, Gabe, there's five kickers now and then gap, right?
Yeah, I think everybody
back in my day, the gap didn't seem as big. Like, you had Vinatieri, you had a handful of great kickers, but, you know... Now there's just such a fall off between really good kickers and caca.
The six highest field goal percentages of all time are all active kickers.
Yeah.
All of them are active.
And so, Chu, the other thing I always say about this is there's one per team, right? You've got 32 kickers in the NFL. Yeah. The pool of people you're pulling from is every single kicker on every single Division I football team, every single kicker on every FBS team, every single kickers who are playing internationally. Like, it feels like there is a very deep pool of candidates. So theoretically, you should be able to get the very, very best. I think that is a big reason why there's been so much frustration with Anders Carlson, because the thought, Gabe, was, look, I can go out there and find a kicker who has been more successful historically, whatever their level of play has been, than Anders was with the Packers, right? That was part of why people were like, what are we doing? Go find another kicker.
Well, and that's what they did, but all they could find was Greg Joseph, who had basically the same success rate a year ago as Anders, and as we saw throughout the competition, throughout training camp, they were kind of the same guy. The percentages were basically the same. And to Chewy's point, I mean, the elite guys, the guys that you know that you can trust, they're not becoming available. You have to go find your own. And that meaty middle, it's tough to find somebody. And you're going to be finding somebody who's going to be around 80 to 85%. And who knows what Narveson's going to be? I have no idea.
Is the quarterback position to blame here? for Green Bay. Because you look at the quarterback.
To hear how this connects.
This is fascinating.
We're sitting back, we're putting our feet up, and we're eating some popcorn. Go ahead, Chu.
Because if you look at the quarterback position, quarterbacks are seem to be 100 times more difficult to find than a kicker. And we found three of them in a row. And we had three great kickers here in Jackie, Longwell, and Crosby. Now we're running into crap, and we're like, what the hell is so hard about picking a kicker? It's much harder to find Jordan Love than it is to find a guy who can consistently make a 40-yarder. Did I tie that together?
Is the implication that they ran out of luck? They used it all up? Is that what you're trying to say?
And if I'm being honest,
they had so many wishes on the genie.
If I'm being honest, I'm glad they used it on quarterback. I'd rather use the wish on the quarterback than on a kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. If Jesus doesn't like kicker.
Fred Norman's not going to like that.
I did see a tweet that does correspond with what Chewy is saying, which said something along the lines of, at the end of the day, it is wild that the Packers had a tougher time replacing Mason Crosby than they did Aaron Rodgers. With that, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Much more to get to. We've got Top 8 at 8 coming up in the second hour of the show. But before we do that, guys, have you tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? Let me tell you all about it. It's the clean energy drink that you need that I need to stay active and energized all day long. And trust me, I need Celsius to get through the very busy, very hectic college football season. You can find your Celsius at Pick and Save or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the Sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. The ultimate experience with the self-service betting kiosks. And, oh, by the way, don't bury the lead. There is a 2,000-square-foot video wall for you to watch all of the big games, all of the action. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie, so get in on the action. Take your time rolling up your sleeves. I think it might be our birthday. I don't remember exactly, Chu, but what didn't we start the show at the end of August? Four years ago?
Earlier than that. No? It wasn't June?
Time is a flat circle.
No. Ashton's got it written down somewhere.
The only reason I say that is because I went to our Instagram page. I went to our Twitter page, X, if you will, and there were balloons.
Really?
Floating on the profile. And usually that means that it is the person's or the entity's birthday. So I wonder if when Ashy set up the old Twitter account for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, if he put in the first date of our show, which may be, what is today?
The 29th.
Oh. Well, he says the show birthday was the 31st. So why did we get balloons?
Because he created it 2 days ahead of time.
Yeah. The show account may have been, created a couple days ahead.
But it says
that's what we got, balloons. Thanks.
They're not even real balloons; they're digital balloons.
They're fake, fake ass balloons.
They're the kind that float up on the screen. I saw it, and I was like, "Oh, is it our birthday? Were we born today 4 years ago?" Turns out, no, August 31st. We should
Has
be able to remember
four
that.
Years? It's been 4 years.
Yeah, it's been 4 years. Mm-hmm.
Wow,
you've been doing mornings for 5 years, big guy.
I know. I need to retire.
Yeah, just what so I you do. Know, every day I think it's going to be that scene at the end of Good Will Hunting.
Oh, he's sprinted past the over. I didn't think this guy was going to make it a full year doing a show every day of the week.
Well, Angie has a lot to do with that, right? Because isn't Angie the one that's like, you get your butt in that chair and you do that show?
When
she'll tell me when I can retire.
I was about to say, when you say has something, I think you mean has everything to do with him making it past
the
over.
But I can still come down and fake it.
Yeah, but you can
just
only
not
fake
return
it for
the equipment.
Yeah, but you can only fake it for a couple of days.
Yeah, she's got a lot of rats out there.
So, I mean,
she does.
It'd be like faking sick, right? Like, I mean, Yeah, if you wanted to fake a retirement, I suppose we could, but...
You're like the little kid who's threatening to run away. Okay! Yeah. I'm not coming back now!
I mean it this time!
I've had it with you guys!
But then you make it to the corner, you can't cross the street by yourself, so now you're just stuck.
You come back, and you're like, I changed my mind, I guess I'll stay. Alright, so it's not our birthday. Our birthday is apparently 8:31. Gotta figure out why those balloons are going off on the Twitter page. We gotta take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to get to, including top 8 at 8. We'll continue talking about those Green Bay Packers. And, of course, did you see the news that the Chain Gang is back? All that and more coming up.